Welcome to QWERTY Writing Life Podcast, where we have candid chats about our creative lives. This is Meg.
And I'm Joy.
For more information about our podcast, monthly newsletter, or author resource series, visit us at QWERTYWritingLife.com. That's QWERTY, spelled Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
It's the first six letters on your keyboard.
So, are you ready? Grab your tea.
Or your coffee. And let's chat.
Hello, everyone. It's another week.
Hello and welcome.
Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of motivation in creativity. But before we do that, let's talk about our creative weeks. Joy, what did you do?
Well, I have been developing a resume, online portfolios, doing career workshops, all of the things. So that has kind of been where my creative juices have been going. You know, what's the best way to literally pitch myself, which seems like so weird, you know, but we pitch our books, we pitch our ideas, we pitch all of these things, we pitch article ideas. So yes, basically pitching myself. So just figuring out the best way to do that for a multitude of things that I'm applying for and trying to get going, because I don't know exactly which way is going to be best. So I've decided there are about three things that I'm pursuing, and so just trying to be prepared for all of those and getting a web page ready where my portfolio will be, resume will be, everything will be in one place, and just having that mindset shift of, you know, doing this in the digital age, because back in my day, when we were first looking for jobs, right, it was very much in person, and it was you print out your resume, and you bring it in, and you fill out applications in person, and you interview in person, and you, all of these things. We didn't have the online digital portfolios and online resumes. That wasn't a thing. So it's just different. So getting used to all of that, and then just trying to put everything out there in the best way possible and the easiest way possible for people to access.
Yeah. Can I ask you, how, like, did you get another domain name or something like that in order to do your professional, I guess, portfolio thing? Or did you kind of link it to a private page or something, to something else you have?
Yeah. So I'm just linking it to my author website, and it'll be completely separate from the main part of it. So they won't, like, when you go to them, you're not going to see the other site, basically. But it is all the same site. So it's just going to be my joyerecutori.com/writer. And so that'll kind of be like the home for people to go to, where they can get the resume, they can get the portfolio, they can get everything in one little place. And then there will be a couple of pages off of that. So like the actual portfolio would be a separate page. And where the resume will be, they'll click on that to get to the resume, and things like that. So basically, it's going to look very similar, though, to my author website, so that it all looks brand cohesive, because that is one of the things that I'm pitching myself as, you know, being able to do brand cohesion. Brand journalism is actually, I didn't know that was a thing, but that is a thing, a brand journalist. So there you go. I know. I think I would have a lot of fun with that. Like,
you're already one, and then you found out that you have a label, so that's kind of cool.
So yeah, so that's what I'm doing. We'll see how it all works out, but yeah.
I love that so very much, and thank you for answering my question.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for asking. So tell us about your creative week.
Yeah. So, as far as like creativity and writing and that sort of thing, I have, been held accountable by another writer friend. And so we've been going back and forth whenever we've written about an hour a week. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we've done is also, she sent me a poem in through email, so that I'm going to look at that. And I'm going to send her a poem, and we both know that they're like drafted. They're not perfect, that we maybe have gone through them just a little bit, but it's definitely not something that's publishable right now. And then we're going to meet up next week for a little bit, just to talk about our edits and things like that. So this is a little bit new because Joy's only been the only critique partner that I've ever had, and I'm not sure exactly how critiquey we're going to get into this. But I love this lady and I love her work, and I am excited to have somebody who is interested in having me look at their stuff. And so this is kind of a small, like, soft step into another version of accountability for the two of us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And don't worry, you're still my number one.
Oh, I just love that y'all are sharing and swapping poems too, because I know that that's not what I typically do. So, yeah, right. I love that.
But still, you appreciate poetry and understand poetry in a way that is excellent, because it's a reader perspective and not necessarily a writer perspective 100%. Although you do write lovely poetry, you just don't know it yet. And but yeah, this is just something I'm just kind of trying out and stuff. And we've been creative friends for a really long time, and so we're stepping into something different. And I am hesitantly excited.
Yay! That's exciting. I'm excited.
So, and there's a lot of been other stuff going on, but I think that's my main, like, creative, happy joy spark moment from the week. So
that's a good one.
Thank you. Well, so Joy and I are going to talk about the importance of motivation and creativity today. We have been, I guess our last episode was about motivation as well. And when we were planning that particular episode, this content also just spilled from that, and we couldn't fit it all into one episode. And you know how we like our introspection and understanding whys of the whys and the reasons that we do things. So this kind of came from that, and also because our motivations tend to get a bad rap in the creativity world, especially in, like, creative entrepreneurial circles. It's rather the reputation of motivation is rather negative. So it's like we don't need it. Like we just need consistency. We just need a steady rhythm and a habit. And we, you know, for writers, the whole butt in the chair is like a mantra that we repeat over and over again. We hear it over and over again as well. And it's just that discipline, the willpower, et cetera. And all of those things are so, so true. But why do we put our butts in the chair? What keeps us in the habit? What keeps us there? They're all worthwhile tools. Consistency, self-discipline, organization, all of those things are all worthwhile tools that one uses to get from A to Z, for sure. It's almost like exercise. An exercise habit is a tool to get you to better health. But tools have to be wielded, and to wield, there must be a reason. So what makes you pick up those tools?
Yeah. So we QWERTYs are going to provide a different perspective to consider concerning creativity and the necessity of motivation. We have a QWERTY theory to share about the aspects of motivation and two QWERTY identified types of motivation. Then we're also going to share some personal examples from our recent creative lives to show how we came to this candid chat. We're going to give you 10 observations about motivation and end, of course, with a practical implementation that will flow right into our QWERTY challenge for you guys, because you know that we love our practical tips.
It is a chocked full episode, guys.
It is. So buckle up or pour your tea or something.
Tea. It's actually coffee today. Our first theory is that without a reason to wield, without motivation behind a project to be disciplined, does making the thing seem kind of like robotic or automation? You know, like, is that what it feels like to you? And we think that it can. And this is the theory that kickstarted our chat.
Yeah. So next, the two QWERTY identified types of motivation. Why am I having trouble with that word? We're talking about motivation, and here I am, you know, stumbling over the word motivation. Let me try that again. So the two QWERTY identified types of motivation that we're going to expand on for you guys today are sustaining motivation and specific motivation. And I love this. I love the terms that really May came up with the sustaining and specific here, and I think that it's so perfect. So first of all, the sustaining motivation, this is kind of the big picture. And when we were first talking about this, we really talked about it in terms of mind, soul, and body. So maybe, May, you can tell us a little bit about how this sustaining motivation looks in those three aspects.
Yeah. So first of all, I think we need to know that the sustaining motivation, when we say big picture, it's almost like the big motivation that is pushing forward our creative journeys, like why we even started trying to be a creative and go into these into this world.
So it's kind of like the connecting thread. Like as you look over your creative journey, like there's always going to be something that kind of flows all the way through. So I don't know. Hopefully that's helpful for somebody. It just is a visual in my mind.
Well, and another visual can be, for example, an umbrella. So you have like this arc that is the top of the umbrella, and then you have these spines that come out and hold that arc up. Right? So the arc of an umbrella is your sustaining motivation. It's that big picture. It's the thing that is protecting you in some way. But it's the thing that people notice, I guess. No, that's not a very good definition of it. Just think about the umbrella. and the way that it covers all of the spines. There we go. The way that it covers all of the spines. And that is your sustaining motivation. And then your spines are the specific motivation. And I'm not even sure if spines is the way that is the name of those little things that hold open the umbrella. However, we're going to call them spines.
We're going to call them spines.
We're going to call them a QWERTY definition of whatever those things are that hold open the umbrella.
I think that that's what they should be. So
let's not get stuck on the detail. So there's that. And now we're going to talk about like the mind, the body, and the soul part of it. And so for me, and I think for Joy too, I think that I can say that as well, that it is almost like the foundation of your big pictures or sustaining motivation is going to be your soul. We believe that you need a soul, a mind, and a body portion to make up a motivation, whether it is a big, whether it's sustaining or specific. So the soul part of motivation is a desire for something specific and an acknowledgement that this desire feeds me in some way. It's like your why, okay? So a desire for a creative life and an acknowledgement that this desire feeds me in some way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, great. So then we'll move to the mind and the body are almost things that you can, you might have to parse out at the same time because they feed off of each other as well. So your mind is like the practical plan that you make in order to nurture and grow that original desire or that soul section, okay? And then your body is how that practical consideration or plan and implementation of that plan results in the desire becoming an intrinsic part of us, is, you know, or a reality. It takes into consideration the current state of the person, so their physical, their emotional, and situational aspects of a person. Sometimes we like to call those seasons. Some people hate the word seasons, but my puppy is trying to be, hey, sweet pea. I know it. You need some loves? He needs some loves. So the physical, the emotional, and the situational states of a person are in huge consideration whenever you're thinking about how you're going to implement the plan that your mind has come up with for your soul's desire. See how it builds off of each other? So it supports and complements the mind's work. So our three parts of motivation, just in summary, are soul, body, and mind. And soul is first, and mind and body builds together.
I love that. I love the way that you put that. And so this leads into the specific motivation. So this is where we're talking about our motivation for project by project, like each individual thing that we come to do underneath that umbrella, right? So these are our spokes, or what do we call them? Spokes? No, what do we call them? Spines. Spines. That makes more sense because it's like the spine of the umbrella. Yes. Anyway, spokes are wheels. Y'all just ignore me. So now.
Sweet baby is going to do weird things. If you're looking on YouTube, my body is like contorting in strange ways because my sweet baby is trying to get into my cords.
So. Aw, the Bodhi.
He's good now. He's good. We're good.
Oh, we love our fur babies.
This is life. This is just life.
Exactly. All right. So now we thought we'd just kind of give you guys a little bit of a peek at our creative lives and what we recently discovered. So as May and I were talking about the nuggets of this topic, we realized that neither of us had properly identified or even taken the time to fully identify the original motivation behind our author journeys. And the funny thing was, we just started talking and chatting, and May started asking me questions, and she's like, well, books have always been important to you, right? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, like, in what ways? Like, how were they when you were a kid? Like, what do you remember? And so we started digging deeper into this, and it just kind of was, I don't know, a little eye-opening. Things that I had forgotten or just hadn't really pieced together, I guess you could say. So as she encouraged me to think back to what led me to writing and asked me those questions about how reading may have influenced me, I started talking and remembering several literature-related moments in my life where stories were my escape. They were my comfort. They were my place to uncover myself and to uncover the world around me. I remember distinctly as a young child, like even from a very young age and then on up, I would tell stories to my stuffed animals. I would do that either, you know, in my room, or I remember being on the swing and making up stories. At that point, I was probably telling them to my first dog that I had. Anyway, when I was supposed to be going to bed at night and going to sleep at night instead, I'm laying there awake making up all these stories. But also reading books. So the literature that I read taught me empathy. It taught me about relationships. It also taught me the truth of life's realities within that safety of fiction in order to prepare me for real hard stuff. And to kind of, it helped me analyze and evaluate my own ethics and beliefs and, you know, worldviews and, you know, how do I think about this and all of that. And honestly, as I looked back and I thought about all of these moments and all of these memories, I realized that it's why I write what I do today. So I say that I write the soul with heart. And what I mean by that is I write things that matter, and I do it with care, attention, compassion, and gentleness, or I try to. That's always my goal, right? And so I think that because that's what I gleaned from the fiction that I read growing up, or the stories that I made up in the wee hours of the night, or whatever the case may be, I think that that's why I write the way that I do and tell the stories that I do now.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that so very much. And that took a lot of, you know, it almost took a little bit of going into some of the hard areas too, because I imagine if you're like me in my situation, like we kind of had to think about the things that were hard for us in our childhood and how we coped with them. So escapism is something that Joy and I actually had in common with our kind of origin stories, I guess you could call it. For our creative journeys, whenever we started doing the introspection together, which also, like, if you can do this with a friend, it's so nice. Yeah. To be able to go through those things as a friend and not get stuck and dwell on the things that, you know, maybe it's a little bit hard for you, or you're able to share the wonderfulness that you come across with somebody and y'all can, like, you know, love on it together. So if you can, do it with a friend. But so part of my story was that the stories have always been a part of my childhood, and that I have made them up forever. I didn't have access to a library. I grew up in a really rural town, and so even the schools that I went to didn't have like a huge it didn't have a huge library. And so, and also I didn't value books the way that I do now, but I've always valued stories, whether it was through songs, through musical theater, through the radio, through just like making them up with friends and like in my head and that sort of thing. And it always generally reverted back to somebody who had been overlooked receiving some sort of credit and acknowledgement and doing something really cool. And so, so that tends to be like a current theme or a reoccurring theme in a lot of the stories that I tell today as well. But what I recognized was whenever we were having this conversation is that those stories kind of saved me in a way, for reasons that we don't have to get into.
There you go.
Thing too, like, guys, this can be very vulnerable, and so you know the reasons, but just know that you don't have to share those reasons if you don't feel comfortable with anybody else, but you know why they're there. And you also can say things like, the emotional aspect of it is that here is this this piece of situation that happened, here's what made you fall in love with a particular creative situation, and that desire to do something with it. And so for me, that desire was to create more stories because they make my heart happy, but also because there are other people who might want to, you know, hear these stories too, and also feel the same things that I'm feeling whenever I make them up. And so that's the part of the desire of it. And then acknowledging that it was a bit of escapism, acknowledging that it was, that it is a desire to teach and to encourage and to build community and all of these other things that go along with sharing your stories, that it created the soul portion of the big picture motivation for me.
Now, we wanted just to give you guys 10 observations about motivation. And we're just going to kind of go back and forth with these. I think that they are in a really great order. They kind of flow into one another. And then after that, we'll get to the practical stuff. So, number one observation about motivation. Motivation is fluid, both sustaining and specific.
Mm-hmm. And the cool part about this one is that your sustaining motivation can be different from your specific motivation, because your specific motivation is going to be project to project. So you might have some heart projects that you're working on that really do match up well with your sustaining motivation. And then there also might be some projects where you're like, this is just going to be fun and I really want to work with this person. And you've identified that desire. You have, you know why you're doing something, and then your mind and your body can work together to make a plan and implement that plan. So that's why I think it's important for us to say that it's fluid. And for sustaining motivation, just know that we are people and we grow, and you know, with every year and with every moment we are growing, we're learning more, we're having new experiences, and that's why that one can be fluid as well. So number two, motivation is deep thinking about the past, where then that's where your soul and desire and why it's important. About the present, so your body, you're assessing your current physical, mental, and situational state, and futurescaping. So that's your mind, and where you're visualizing and you're planning how you will reach the completion of the project.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Okay,
cool.
Oh, yes.
So fascinating.
So cool. Yes. So number three, you can have a sustaining motivation without a specific motivation, but you will not have a specific motivation without a sustaining motivation. Ooh. That's one of those. For those of y'all not watching on YouTube, I'm stroking my chin in a very wise manner.
Oh, I love that. And if you happen to find a reason why that is untrue, share with us, because we couldn't find one. Number four, an external goal. So for example, like you want a six pack. That's not motivation. So your internal goals, that's more along the lines of what motivation is. So it's a desire to be sexy or healthy or, you know, fill in the blank, you know, whatever makes you want to have that six pack. So don't just stop at an external desire, like go a little bit deeper and figure out why you want that thing that's outside of who you are.
Yeah. And that's what you and I did when we had that conversation. We kind of went back and went deeper into our past and all of that. So yeah, dive deeper. Mm-hmm. Number 5, motivation is subject to your life experiences and how you process them.
I feel like that's self-explanatory. Number 6, motivation starts with identifying a desire and why it's important. We do have desires that can stand alone, that don't turn into a motivation, especially if we don't like have a why it's important, or if that why it's important is not strong enough to uphold a complete motivation.
Yeah. All right. Number 7, recognize the consequence of the desire first. So for us, that was stories. And then through introspection, recognize that desire. And for both of us, we had that word escapism that came up. So recognize the consequence of the desire, then through introspection, recognize the desire itself.
Right. And I think that one was really specific to sustaining motivation. It probably could flow in to specific, but I really think that we wrote that one for sustaining.
Yeah, for the most part. Usually the in-the-moment projects, you tend to be a little bit more in it, whereas the overall, yeah. So I would agree with that.
So number 8, people tend to focus on the mind and the body aspects, arguably because those considerations are easier to quantify than the wild, feral thing that is the soul. So be intentional and dive deep in those in that area.
I love that wild, feral thing that is soul. Write that poem. That's your challenge for the week. Boom.
Don't think it can cross my mind. I love those two adjectives for what the soul is. It's definitely something that has been reoccurring in my mind this week. So,
all right, number 9. Discovering your motivation is not necessarily linear, and I think people like me may need to really hear this one. It can be, but be prepared to move things around and to adapt if something from one aspect triggers a consideration for another aspect. This relates to that previous bullet point that May just told us about, because though motivation seems to sprout from the soul, we may not be able to consciously identify that aspect until we work on the others.
Mm. Yes. And y'all might need to rewind that and hear that again, because I need to rewind that and hear that again too. It's all, everything that we are going through is our brain, and things are floating around there, and it's like a cloud. It's a little bit foggy in there. And so getting it down into an articulated place is just, sometimes it takes us a bit. So number 10, remembering your motivations is just as important as identifying them. So discovering your motivations is only the first step. Remembering them is what keeps you stepping.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So those are our 10 observations on motivation. And finally, being the practical gals that we are, we wanted to give you a few thoughts on the practical implementation of what we've unpacked about motivation in this episode. So we've got 4 things for you here, and then that's going to lead us into our challenge. So First, if you are unmotivated to start or finish a project, one of the aspects for either a sustaining or specific motivation may be unformed or out of whack.
Number 2. Your body may be suffering or struggling to overcome some sort of negative influence, emotion, life experience, mental or emotional numbness, or something of a combination of those things, or something completely different. So work on your body.
And then number 3, your mind may be unsure about the next move, or a change in the body may mean an update is needed to the mind. It all works together, guys.
Yep. And number 4, your body may not fully understand the importance of the desire to complete your project or the importance of the desire could be lacking or possibly have changed.
Yeah. And that goes back to that, you know, it's not necessarily linear. It's fluid. Things change. We grow, all of those. So keeping all of that in mind. Mm-hmm. So this practical thinking leads perfectly into our QWERTY challenge.
Yeah, it does.
All right. So we encourage you to understand the state of your specific motivation, the reason why you wield, linked to your current project, before assessing the way you use a tool. For example, that whole button the chair, you know, that we talked about, or the consistency or the whatever. So you may not need a new morning routine, or that workshop on building habits, or a consistency meditation CD, or you may need those things, but you'll know that it is a part of the mind plan to equip you rather than emotional reaction to unfounded shame, embarrassment, and imposter syndrome. And as always, we really would love to hear, you know, what you guys think about this, what if you've been thinking about motivation lately, if this is something brand new, or if this is something that you've thought yourself or that you've heard in other places or you have other thoughts of. And also, if you do some of these practical things and implement some of these, let us know how it goes. We would love to hear. Just drop us a line at QWERTYWritingLife@gmail.com or hit us up on social media.
Yeah, or you can also subscribe to our newsletter too, and then just push a nice little reply button on that.
Exactly. So we hope you guys have a fantastic week.
Yes, and go make something.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this episode encouraged you. Like all creatives, we thrive on consumer recommendations. So please consider leaving us a review and sharing our podcast with your creative friends.
If you'd like to continue this conversation, visit us on our website at QWERTYWritingLife.com or on Instagram at QWERTYWritingLife.